Welcome to Trinity Chapel. Our reading this morning corresponds beautifully with the theme of this week in the church year, the 11th Sunday of Trinity. Our text is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Thank you for letting me try out for the team. As I go to try out today, although I just thought I'd let you know a few things about myself, I tend to be really late for practice, and I typically don't work very hard in practice. I'll act like I do, but I typically don't work very hard in practice. And oftentimes in the locker room, I like to kind of badmouth the coach. But I hope we have a good season this year. Professor Marzoff, thank you for letting me audition for the choir. Before I have my audition with you, though, I thought I would just mention a few things about myself. I like to kind of sing off key on purpose sometimes, just to throw people off around me. And typically, I don't take choir practice very seriously. And by the way, my favorite band is Slipknot. And I hope I pass the audition. Professor Bladel, thanks for letting me try out for theater physics. And let me tell you a little bit about myself. My high school drama teacher kicked me out of the play because I had such a bad attitude. I plan to skip most of your rehearsals because I think they're kind of ridiculous and not worth my time. But I sure hope I make the cast. Now, in this world, when we have to go deal with somebody who's in authority over us, who has to make a decision about us, somebody who's in authority over us that has to pass a certain type of judgment on us, we typically don't go in and tell them everything wrong with ourselves. We typically want to minimize how weak we are at certain things or all of our bad points, and we tend to maximize all of our good points, hoping that that will score some points in the eyes of the person who's in authority over us that now has the potential to make a judgment about us one way or the other. The great paradox and irony of the Christian faith, however, is this. When it comes to how we come before God, how we approach God, there, God takes the way we intrinsically think, the intuitive thought we have about ourselves, and he turns it on its head. And he would have us learn that true religion, truly approaching God the way he wants to be approached, comes at him recognizing all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our weaknesses, and holding this up before him in repentance. And this is one of the great vital signs of the Christian faith, humility. Pastors will tell you when they counsel people who are having spiritual problems or marital problems and so on, one of the key things that they often watch for is humility. The person who humbly is bowing before the Word of God, even with their own sins and weaknesses. Our text says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, there's a special warning in texts like this for those of us who have been, and I count myself among these, those of us who have been blessed to have grown up in good Christian homes, or have been blessed to have a strong background in the Christian faith and know it very well. We know the commandments. We know where the moral lines are of what is right and what is wrong. And we can easily spot when those lines are crossed in the world, in our society, in other people, in the residence halls, in the locker room, on the campus, out at the parties. We can easily see and recognize sin. We have no trouble distinguishing it from what is right. And maybe we have been properly taught as God's children, as Christians, to avoid those things. But here's the danger. We can so easily catch ourselves, and this happens to me so frequently, can easily catch ourselves making this great comparison with ourselves and the world, and sound just like that Pharisee in the temple. God, I thank you I'm not like other people are. When I consider how bad some of my classmates are, when I hear some of the language that comes out of their mouths, when I think of some of the immoral ideas and attitudes that they have, the things they do with their body or with controlled substances, I'm sure thankful I'm not like them. It's so easy for us to, as we walk on the path of faith, caring about God's commandments, as we should, it's very easy for us to be just pushed a little bit by the devil into the ditch of self-righteousness, of somehow imagining we are so much better than others. And isn't it interesting? In the Gospels, whenever our Lord Jesus wanted to portray hypocritical self-righteousness, he typically used the character of someone who was very moral and very religious. The great paradox in the Christian faith is this: that those who are truly worthy of God's attention personally recognize, acknowledge, and admit that they are not worthy of God's attention. And if you see the or view the earthly ministry of Christ, you'll often see this. It's so often those who are struck with the guilt of their sin, when he shines the light of his attention and his positive attention upon them. We think of the woman that was caught in adultery, brought in front of him. We think of the woman who came and was crying and washing his feet with her tears. Think about Zacchaeus up in the tree that everybody despised in the community. We think about the thief on the cross. It's so often those who are in the depth of their guilt and recognizing that and confessing that before God, this is where the positive glow of Christ's attention rests. Isaiah wrote it this way. The Lord says, "This is the one I esteem." That means I hold highly. "He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." Maybe you've had things that your parents told you that just kind of stayed with you to such an extent that you even remembered where you were when they said it. I can still remember sitting after a family devotion in about fifth grade. I can remember where I was sitting at the table, and my dad said something that has just stayed with me for my whole life. He said it this way, and we'd kind of just ended the devotion, and we're talking about different aspects of going to heaven and so on. And he said, "There are going to be some pretty big surprises in heaven, not only with those who are there, but maybe also with those who aren't there." God puts before us in the Scriptures a very strange door to approach him and to get to heaven. It is humility over our sins, and along with that, a total dependence on him and his mercy in Christ and what Christ has done alone. And through that doorway, he takes us to the cross. Every one of us, everybody here today, he takes us to the cross, and he displays for us there his wonderful mercy and love that made a payment for all of your sins, no matter what they are, how frequent they are, how bad they have been, how much they might embarrass you. Every one of them has been wiped clean because of the blood of Christ. And through faith in him, only in what he has done for you, do you and I have the sure promise that someday we will get to sit at the feast of salvation. On the cover of the bulletin for this week, we have that scene from the Gospel of Luke regarding the story of the Pharisee and the publican. And that should serve always for us as a very powerful image of how Jesus would instruct us about how to approach God and how to be truly prepared before God in humility. And God wants every penitent sinner, whether it's those who have failed miserably and have a horrible track record that everybody knows about publicly, whether it's those who have kind of an outward facade of being good but back as they go to bed at night, realize how filthy they are inside, or whether it's those who just struggle with self-righteous thoughts of looking down on others. God wants every penitent sinner to know of His marvelous grace and mercy, and to know that His forgiveness in Christ and the hope of heaven is so big and wide that it can reach every one of us. It can even reach me, and it can even reach you. Amen. Today in our prayers, we would like to keep Lynn Kessel, Professor Lynn Kessel, wife of Dr. Bill Kessel, in our prayers as she continues to recover. And also, we've had a prayer request on behalf of Morris Nilsson, the grandfather of one of our incoming freshmen, Carl Rabbi. And Morris is suffering with a severe case of Parkinson's Plus. Let us rise as we join in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your children, Carl, and his grandfather, Morris, and also on behalf of Lynn Kessel. We pray that you would be with them in this great time of need, and that you would grant them your hand of healing. And we pray that you would use these situations to draw them and all of us closer to you and to a knowledge of the truth in your holy word and the great comfort that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we begin this new academic year, we pray that you would be with us and with all of those who teach in this institution, that you would guide all things to the glory of your holy name. And we ask it all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.